But getting back to it. Do it again.
1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4.
It's my Latino-ness.
So before we get started,
sure.
Why don't you guys talk about the trailers?
What trailers?
What were the trailers?
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Guardians of the Galaxy, which looks phenomenal.
Ghost in the Shell.
It looks all right.
Ghost in the Shell looks awesome.
Yeah, actually, that's what I think the new Harrison Ford movie.
Blade Runner?
Yeah, Blade Runner.
I think that's what the Blade Runner should look like.
Well, I mean, a lot of that stuff came from Blade Runner.
Yeah.
You know, all that cyberpunk stuff was William Gibson and Blade Runner. And you know, Ghost in the Shell was when in the 90s, like the mid-90s?
I think so.
And how far ahead was the manga versus the anime? Because it started as a manga and then it became an anime, or was it the other way around?
And then when did the hentai come around?
I think it was anime first.
Was it?
Because it was part of that renaissance when Akira...
It was a few years after Akira.
Yeah, because Akira was late 80s, right?
Gundam. Yeah.
I mean, I saw Akira when it was all in Japanese with American writing on the bottom. Like they were writing the dialogue on
back
the
when
bottom.
You're getting like dubs on VHS, yeah, but, like, right?
Well, you'd have to go up to the college because the
otaku would have it?
One of the college students who were taking Japanese would have the bootlegs, and some of them would actually like dub it themselves. So it'd be like, Chip, what are you doing? You should really stop. Because they were trying to...
Right. They're trying to learn Japanese through...
Well, no, they were trying... They were dubbing Japanese anime with American voices. They could understand what the characters were speaking of, and then they would sell you these VHS tapes for like...
Okay, so what
$4.
You're saying is their performances of what they were...
Were very wooden.
Okay. But are you sure that they were successful translations too? They may have missed a lot of nuance, given that they were students and all.
He didn't double check their grades, asshole.
Well, you gotta remember, dude.
He would have seen the official versions versus the version.
Yeah, and then he played them side by side. Come on, dude.
This is a time where, like, if you were gonna buy a VHS copy of Akira, it was like $70. I mean, they were ridiculously expensive.
Well, that was what everything cost then. Yeah. Unless it was like at Walmart, you know, or Kmart or something.
Well, no, because I remember buying Fire and Ice and Wizards for like dirt cheap at the Kroger bin.
But that was because they had movies that weren't terribly successful. Yeah. Those movies weren't huge success or anything. And I think the Bakshi owned them, or at least there were some rights, you know, weird rights issues with those movies anyway. So those type of movies and stuff that was in the public domain, that would go in and you could actually afford that. You could pay, you know, $10 to $20 and get one of those cassettes. But everything else, especially new, would be $80 to $100 for a VHS cassette because they're all priced for rental. So the rental store was supposed to buy them and then rent them to you.
Because I remember when the first time I saw it, my uncle had bought it and we watched me, him, and like two of my cousins, and I was just blown away how beautiful the animation was.
On Akira.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's even to this day, it's stunning.
I haven't seen it in freaking forever. I don't think I've ever even seen it in its entirety.
I wasn't into it. Just like I tried really hard to get into what we called Japanimation back then.
Oh, my God. It was. We called it Japanimation.
Yeah. Very little of it actually took. I appreciated the visuals. I thought it had really striking visuals. But I understand they weren't compacting like a 28-volume story? Because like the epics were like 48-page square bounds, and I think they went to like 30 some odd issues of that, and all of that was supposed to be adapted into one 90-minute, 2-hour movie.
And a lot of times what happens too is, like you said earlier, a lot of stuff gets lost in translation, because I've seen one version dubbed where it was the version I remember, and then I saw another version redubbed, and even parts of it sequenced correctly, because apparently for the American version, they cut sequences, they moved them around a little bit, and it made more sense, and the story had more gravitas to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, the original Japanese or the American version?
The Japanese version with American dialogue.
Okay, like,
You could have it either in Japanese or in English. I just heard in English, which the voices were very similar still, but the story was way different.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed it way more.
Well, you have a lot of, especially in the early days, you had a lot of journeymen and amateurs who were just adapting the stuff and doing like very literal translations, even though it didn't make sense.
Oh, yeah, trust me.
And then they also got, professional American writers.
Your bases are belong to us.
Right. They would get professional American writers to figure out the nuance or to acculturate it to something that we would understand, to put it in a context that we understand. But you know, uncomfortable tangent, you know who was one of the pioneers of that?
Mm-mm.
Child porn trafficker Gerard Jones. So he did a lot of that stuff. As a matter of fact, he might have done Akira. I'm not sure.
Great conversation killer there.
Yeah,
I guess we'll move on to the next trailer.
no. But let's talk about Ghost in the Shell, though. It's like, and you've seen the movie Ghost in the Shell.
That was a long time ago.
I've never seen it.
I've never seen it either.
I've seen it. I've seen the.
We're bad nerds.
Well, no, I've saw that. I think I saw the. Didn't they do a sequel to it too?
Yeah,
or like an animated series.
I think it was Ghost in the Shells. Or was it Ghosts in the Shell?
I don't remember.
It was a joke. Like Alien, Aliens.
It was also one of those late trailers. Like I think it came out like, I mean, not the trailers, late sequels that came out like 10 years after the fact. So
I don't even think I own it.
Like Trainspotting. I'd have to
like rent it or something and check it out. I actually want to see that, Trainspotting.
Yeah. I mean, the comparison I make is between Clerks and Clerks 2, which I know is probably a little bit weird. I saw Clerks because everybody would talk about Clerks. Mm-hmm. And I think I saw it probably after Mallrats because Mac here and his brother, especially his brother,
talked about this on Mallrats. The podcast.
Talked that one up a lot. I wasn't into it. Then I caught Clerks on video and I wasn't really super into that. And then for some reason, years later, I think it was you, me, and Pussycat went and saw that one. And I really dug Clerks 2.
I was there too. I saw Clerks 2. I'd never seen Clerks 1, but I saw Clerks 2.
And I know a big deciding factor in my enjoyment was Rosario Dawson's bouncing breasts. But I also really liked seeing those guys and those dead end jobs 10 years later and Kevin Smith sort of like memorializing the regular guy who just goes into his job daily and goes to the grind and tries to find the joy in that kind of work. And I'm hoping T2, as they're referring to it, which is unfortunate, I'm hoping that'll do the same thing where we get to see what happens to these guys 20 years later.
Oh, no, absolutely. They hinted at that.
Give us something a little bit more profound than the sort of shit that Danny Boyle was coming up 20 years ago, because back then it was just like, let me do some cool heroin visuals. You know, let me do some cool acid trips and bad sex. This chick's actually underage and blah, blah, blah. I'm curious to see if they're going to be able to show who those guys became all those years later and do that in a way that feels that believable and that is more that I can tune into emotionally in a way that I
won't lie. I'm kind of excited to go see it.
There we go. Okay.
I'm excited to go see it.
You know, I wasn't, because people talked up Trainspotting so much. And when I finally saw it, I was like, you know, just like I was with Clerks. This movie actually appeals to me more. It looks like it'll appeal to me more. So, and even back then, I think it probably would appeal to me more. But we'll see how it turns out.
Well, I rewatched Trainspotting because it's on Netflix right now.
Oh, yeah.
It held up for me. I enjoyed it.
But you liked it. I wasn't super into it the first time, though.
I did.
So it's not so much.
I knew those guys growing up. So, or versions of them.
Yeah.
So,
probably different accents.
Do you think, man?
But with Ghost in the Shell, I really enjoy Scarlett Johansson looking like she's naked while shooting guns.
I'm so glad I wasn't sitting next to her on the screen.
But it looks cool, though, doesn't it? It's interesting.
No, actually, I thought that was the worst looking part of the trailer.
Was her running around?
Yeah. I actually like when they showed the geisha girl.
Yeah,
that was cool. Yeah,
those look cool.
Yeah,
her running around, I was kind of like,
well, and I think all the people.
Is this kind of Resident Evil?
But that is
Underworld. Yeah. She's jumping around.
It's got an Underworld vibe.
But I mean, obviously I'm a fan of one of those franchises, so that's part of what I've been tuned with. Yeah. But yeah, I thought it was really cool visuals. I'm curious to see what it's like.
I'd like to go see the movie and then watch the cartoon and talk about it.
My problem though is I saw Lucy and Lucy was terrible.
Yeah,
Lucy was really bad.
I liked Lucy. I thought it was okay. I kind of liked that ending though.
It was like The Matrix, but more stoner, more like pseudo profundity.
I like that fact where she's like, I'm evolving beyond. And then she's turning into a tree or...
No, you suck. Or maybe you're too far from the microphone.
Maybe.
Oh, it's because he moved away. I was trying
to give it hints.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like the ending. I thought it was kind of decent.
I don't even remember the ending at this point.
I don't care. Like, how about the Mummy trailer?
Well, hold on. Before we go too far, since we were talking Matrix, John Wick Part 2.
Oh, I'm going to go see that shit, dude. That looked fun.
I did like the first one.
You didn't?
I did not like the first one.
I liked the first one.
And yeah, I was
shocked because I...
Hey, so does he talk and act like that on purpose? Is that like the character?
Yeah.
Or is he really that like...
He's just like angry all the time, dude. He's just fucking like...
No, but he doesn't have some weird sign, kind of way that he talks, because he talks like this in the trailer.
Have you not followed Keanu Reeves' entire career?
But it's different than it.
I think that's just the way that they edited it.
They cut the trailer?
He is more terse.
I'm gonna kill every one of them.
Well, all I know is in the first one, he always has that very intense look every fucking minute of the movie.
He's not very conversive. John Wick is not given tons of dialogue, so he doesn't talk
a lot. Almost John S. Preston Wick Squire.
But it almost feels like...
general.
It feels like almost one of those, what are the Frank Miller books?
Yeah, like a hard boiled kind
of
thing.
Yeah, it's like where the character doesn't speak, maybe two lines, and it's just kill, 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 kill.
There's a lot of internal monologue in Sin City, though, that isn't in this. And, I've read some issues, dude.
It was like no dialogue whatsoever.
Well, if you're talking about like Miho or something, right. But there's even a lot of internal monologue in the movies. You know, it was just turned into voiceover. But yeah, I didn't like the first John Wick. People have said that it's kind of comic booky. I kind of get that, but it reminds me, the thing that reminds me the most of is Boondock Saint, which is a movie that I used to like until all the Broheim really latched onto it. When it was something that nobody else had really heard of and I was kind of discovering it, I was like, yeah, that's pretty cool. And then it got ruined for me because too many people like thought it was more than it was. And John Wick was no Boondock Saint. You know, it's just, to me, it
but
feels
Neo
like...
But Neo and Morpheus are meeting again.
Yeah.
you didn't get a little hard when you saw Morpheus.
Not after the last two Matrixes.
And he said, get him a gun?
Let me put it to you this way. I've yet to watch The Matrix 2 or 3 since those things came out. That's how little interest
I don't ever watch them. I watched the first one.
The first one's all you need to see.
At the end, whenever he flies off, I'm like, oh, and the movie's over.
That's the end of it.
Well,
I remember when we walked out of The Matrix, because you and your brother and I, we saw that together. Mm-hmm. And
at Hollywood.
And I was, I think I remember saying, well, he flies to the end. There's really no place to go from there. And I was fucking right.
And then you saw the sequel with me and Pussycat, because remember, there was people dressed like that?
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, they're going to shoot up the theater because they fucking look insane.
Definitely. Stop whispering. You move away when you whisper. It's very strange. You should move away when you yell.
Go ahead.
Yeah, but you're about 5 to 10 years too soon. But
what do you mean?
With that particular observation.
What do you mean?
No, it wasn't.
No, with The Matrix.
When was Columbine?
He was just saying that he was concerned that they were going to shoot up the theater.
I thought he meant Columbine.
Oh, okay.
The black trench coats.
Yeah,
but not the Joker guy.
Yeah. The actual school
guy.
Yeah.
Okay. Man, you are killing it. Every one of these trailers, you're just like destroying with some sort of horrible tragedy.
Bad things happen when people show up all in black in a theater in the middle of the night. Didn't even like almost not let them admit them in? Like, they held them up at the door for a little bit.
One of them had a suitcase.
One of them had a suitcase or something.
This is a rabbit hole I don't want to go down.
Oh, you mean, yeah. It's probably for the best, yeah.
Can we talk about the fucking mummy already?
We'll get there. But John Wick reminds me too much of
still on John Wick.
I was honestly expecting him to go, we're back to Ghost in the Shell. Now, the end of Lucy.
Remember when we first showed up and we sat down?
So back to Trainspotting 2. The reason I didn't like the end of Lucy.
John Wick Dunn is done. You're not going to see it. I'm going to go see it.
It's too much of a video game movie. The first one,
did you fucking just...
All the dialogue was like cutscenes. You know, for the entire feature-length movie, though. So I just couldn't get into it. I wanted to. I mean, I tried to get you guys to go see John Wick. You guys both flatly refused to go see it. I was really interested. And then when I finally see it, I was like, I'm glad I didn't wait.
I'll see it, then you and I can go see the sequel. Because I haven't seen the original.
Okay, that was a DVD movie for me for day one. So I already knew I wasn't going to go to the theaters to go watch it.
Yeah.
So I saw it on DVD and I was like, impressive.
Okay. So how about that mummy?
So wait, is the next step with John Wick the John Wick Jack Reacher combo movie where they're like partners or some shit?
No, but it's supposed to be a third John Wick. It's supposed to be a trilogy.
I know, but what about, isn't Jack Reacher the same shit, but it's Tom Cruise?
Is Jack reaching John's Wick?
Dude, y'all are falling flat tonight, man. What's going on? So the mummy. What you think, Mac?
Hey, guys. Is that the mummy or the Suicide Squad 2?
And he's back. Yeah.
Because that girl looks like the...
Oh, no, absolutely.
Villain from
Suicide Squad. It wasn't the same actress, right?
No, that was the actress
they
who
do look
the...
even similar.
I thought it was. I was like...
What, Enchantress you're getting... talking about, right? Cara Delevingne?
Yeah. I thought she was being... was a typecast already. Like, okay, we need a witch.
She is kind of typecast because, as far as I know, she's a Latina. And the other part that she's known for is playing the white chick from Star Trek Beyond. She was the white alien chick from the last... that we saw together, yeah.
The girl in Mummy.
Yeah, that's the same chick. So it's a Latina who constantly performs in whiteface.
I'm offended.
Whitewashed.
By the way, just real quick too, let's just talk about Star Trek Beyond very briefly, because you and I saw that and I barely even remember that movie.
I don't remember it.
Yeah.
I remember they played a Beastie Boy song.
Yeah, they did, and then, which is unfortunate too. Beastie Boys do not belong in a Star Trek movie.
That's the only thing I actually remember from that movie. I don't even remember the villain or what the point of the story was.
Oh, fuck. What was the villain? Oh, yeah. Idris Elba. The alien Idris Elba. Yeah. But spoiler, Idris Elba is the evil alien dude.
Don't remember.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was my least favorite. Dude, the only good one is Darkness. Khan, I love that one. I own it. It's my favorite one. I don't watch the first one again, and I won't watch the third one ever again.
I like Carl Urban as McCoy. I think he does a pretty good impersonation of DeForest Kelly.
I like like Spock.
Yeah. So, but see, I'm more of a Trekkie. I think we all are. But
no, baby,
we haven't done any Star Trek episodes, really, because these are the kind of Star Trek movies that are made right now. And they're just weak. It's just lame.
Give me those Star Treks.
But that chick's also in The Mummy. Did you already say everything you had to say about The Mummy?
Yeah, that was it.
Okay. What do you guys think about the universal shared universe concept where they're trying to do like the Marvel Cinematic Universe?
It seems like everyone's trying to do that
because they're going to do it with Kong and Godzilla.
Which makes sense.
They're trying to do it. Well, they already did it with Aliens Predators. There's a lot of predecessors. And in fact, the argument
is... But they didn't do it as well where Marvel has like... There's this outreaching with what? Cap, Thor, Iron Man. Then you have Guardians. Black Panther sounds like it's going to be fucking phenomenal.
Oh my God. It's gonna be awesome.
Spider-Man.
Dude, so you have
Doctor Strange.
By the way,
thank you.
We're gonna have to cover Black Panther, but before we can do that, we're gonna have to like do a deep dive on Black Panther comic. Like the entire Don McGregor run at least. Because I was looking at they finally announced the synopsis for the Black Panther movie and the full cast with the roles they've been cast. All that shit is from either the Don McGregor run or the Christopher Priest run. And like every single one of those names, Middle America is gonna be like, what? What's with all these apostrophes? I recognize the names, but it's from those runs. So that you're talking about, you know, Chris Priest did what, 4 or 5 years on Black Panther. Don McGregor did several years worth of them. And we got to read all that shit. So we're going to have to really make an effort to get into Black Panther between now and 2018.
Well, I've never seen you so excited.
Is that on Marvel Unlimited or not?
I'm not sure. I think the Christopher Priest run is.
Not all of it.
Yeah, but I don't know about the McGregor stuff.
Well, I own most of the Christopher Priest.
I've got the Essentials, so I can. Honestly, I've got most of the original issues, too. So if it came down to it, I could probably loan one of you guys the Essentials.
It's the McGregor.
Actually, the Priest stuff to me was the best. I remember you got me onto that.
Yeah, but the McGregor stuff lays the foundation for that. Right. And it seems like a lot of the characters are going to be in the new movie, including the main villain.
Is it going to still have that same kind of quirky humor with, with Ross?
You mean the movie?
Yeah.
I hope so, yeah. I mean, because they already introduced Ross in Civil War.
But he was kind of a badass in that one.
You thought he was a badass?
He's a Fed.
He was a wannabe badass.
He's a Fed.
Yeah.
No, they made him look like... They didn't make him be a wannabe.
Super competent or anything.
Yeah.
It seemed to me like in Civil War, since they don't have the rights to Peter, or maybe they have to share the rights to Henry Peter Gyrick, since I know the X movies have used him already, mm-hmm. I thought that they were kind of trying to turn Martin Freeman into Gyrick more than they were turning him into Pete.
Well, no, but I think what it is while when he's over here, he's a badass. Once you take him to Wakanda, he's out of water. He has that's where he was kind of fun, when he was in Wakanda in the books, if I remember correctly.
It's just funny to me, though, because you look at the cast, that's like one little white dot. Oh, yeah. One little white dot.
I think that's pretty badass.
It's awesome. It's awesome. And they've got some the talent, the number of like name brand known actors in this movie far surpasses Morgan any Freeman's other Marvel. Right? He's the only one.
Okay, I'm not sure.
Yeah, they didn't go. They had no Sam Jackson that I know of that they've announced. And no Morgan Freeman.
That's the stinger.
Oh, there's your stinger. Yeah. But yeah, no, that's I'm really looking forward to that. But we got way the fuck off topic. How the heck did we get Black Panther? Dude. No, somebody brought up Black Panther.
We were just talking about the Marvel universe. Right. Yeah, compared to the universe of Universal.
Because Godzilla and King Kong are doing theirs, but they're only doing two movies.
Yeah.
Alien Predator did their movies.
Yeah, Freddy versus Jason, they were always just twofers. Not the scope and not the level of quality. But Universal actually did have a shared universe back in the 40s, you know, for no other reason than...
But are these monsters going to fight each other? Or is it going to be another monster squad? Or
I think that the whole point of this Mummy movie is to set up Tom Cruise as a hero to be part of that universe. So I imagine they're going to...
He's going to have superpowers, right? Because it looks like...
They've already established that, yeah. This is part of his origin movie. I didn't imagine that.
He survives the plane crash or whatever.
You don't end up in a body bag while you're still breathing.
Well, no, when they showed that bus and he's like somehow bouncing through the middle of it.
Okay.
I was like, oh, okay, that's not very...
Well, he obviously has some sort of immortality.
Yeah, okay.
That was bequeathed by the mummy and blah, blah, blah.
So he's probably going to be the male mummy.
By the female mummy, yeah.
Because they said
bequeathed on.
They said the Dracula film that came out a few years ago, it's part of the universe now.
That when it first came out, it was supposed to be the start of the Universal Monsters shared universe. And then when it did, it went, speaking of queefs.
Come on, man. You're above that.
Not much. Well, it depends on where you're positioning.
Stop. I know you're going this. Stop it.
Because it did so poorly, they just disowned it and they decided, Mummy Mulligan is what this is going to be. Okay. So they're going to start with the mummy now.
Oh, because I thought...
Wait. Was Godzilla the same way then? Because Godzilla was supposed to kick off...
No.
Godzilla did it. It hit, and that's why they're making Kong, and then the next one after that is Kong and Godzilla.
But that's going to be tied into the Bryan Cranston that he was in for 10 minutes. Yeah.
They're maintaining... But I don't think that was conceived to be part of a shared universe.
I thought that it was, because we talked about it.
Did it?
We talked about it when it happened.
Okay.
Because me and Fraho were talking about it, because what I've seen scene of Kong, it looks like it's taking place in the 70s, where Godzilla took place present time. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure how they're going to make that work.
Probably because at the end of Kong, they knock him into some hibernation, and then he wakes up probably to fight Godzilla.
But why have it set in the past in the first place? You know, then you don't have to worry about that. See, those kind of contrivances are understandable in comics, because it's pretty you have to have Cap be in World War II. They've done movies where he wasn't in World War II, and it was stupid. So because of how that's set up in the comics, you have to do that. But with King Kong, there's no reason he has to come from the 1930s.
Yeah.
And especially if they're not going to connect to the Peter Jackson movie. So just have it be today. Hopefully it'll just be today, because there's no sense in it. But my understanding is if they did do it in the past, it's because this is supposed to be a prequel that takes place before
continuity
of the original movie. So
I got you. Because it looks fantastic, I thought, the Kong. But I don't know
if I'm going to see that theatrically.
Oh, I'll see it with you. I think it looks good.
Yeah. Well, I was already burned with Godzilla. So you guys go see it and let me know how it works out for you. But we didn't super enjoy Godzilla. You know,
Godzilla was terrible.
Yeah, I liked it better than you.
You liked it better than me. I thought it was offensively terrible.
Yeah, so I liked it okay.
We're not talking about it.
Okay, which one?
Get to the fucking movie.
Hold on.
Wait, was there any more trailers after?
Who fucking cares?
Well, Guardians.
Well, I want to talk about the Mummy though. So what kills me with this Mummy thing?
So what kills me with Ghost in the Shell is back to Ghost in the Shell.
I understand they're trying to do a shared universe, and I understand they're trying to do something similar to what Marvel and Warner Brothers DC Extended Universe, whatever it's called, are doing. But they're monsters, and I think that you're not going to serve yourself by trying to make superhero / action movies out of the Universal monsters. I think you need to do something that's more horror flavored, and this just looks like an action movie. Oh, and, yeah. And I wish that instead of getting action movie directors for the Universal monsters, they would get like up and coming horror directors, guys who are known for doing cool, scary stuff. Like Fed Alvarez would be somebody who'd be great to do something like that.
Rob Zombie, your favorite?
Not my favorite by far. What are you talking about, Rob Zombie? I don't like any Rob Zombie movies.
That's the joke.
Get on with the movie, man. I'm done with the trailer.
Like, we couldn't do Rob Zombie, a Mummy movie would be freaking great. He'd be like, yeah!
He'd do a Frankenstein movie.
The mic is not in front of you, though.
It doesn't want to talk to me anymore.
Okay, so...
Hated it.
Two snaps in Z formation. Do not leave that on Earth.
I need to wet my palate.
Okay.
Way to cough into the brand new microphone, guys.
Why I got a new one.
Can you bring my water in the fridge back while you're over there?
No, I don't think so.
So get my water.
Yeah, I am a man.
It's in the fridge. The main fridge.
Yeah, what?
What are you drinking? What are you drinking there?
No.
Ugh. You're right, man?
Eyeglass wipe.
Your glass wipes?
Yeah.
Jesus, eyeglasses. How many do you buy, dude?
The Bakita bought it like a case of the thing, because I was complaining because these new glasses I've got, they're harder to keep clean. And
oh, I know. Mine are all the time, too. Yeah.
Yeah, so she bought us a bunch of them. And they're basically moist towelettes anyway. So
yeah, they got like a little alcohol in them.
So you wipe your lenses, you wipe your ass, you throw it in the tub. Yeah, gotcha.
No, it makes my ass all white, you know, chappy.
Whiter than usual?
Yeah, even whiter than
usual. More white.
El chappy?
El chappy.
Well, so you don't want too much abrasion back then, because then stuff starts to catch, you know? So are we going to see the new Luc Besson movie, by the way? I'm interested in that. I actually want to see that.
I haven't seen anything.
I like the trailers are fucking trippy.
I don't think I've seen
it. It's an adaptation of a French comic book. It's got the dude who was going to play the Green Goblin in the Amazing Spider-Man.
It's just CG.
The dude from Chronicle, the dangerous guy, and Cara Delevingne, Enchantress, you know, bringing it all around.
Oh, that looks terrible.
I want to see it.
That looks absolutely fucking offensive and horrible.
CG thrown up all over the screen.
Okay. It does. It looks like just CG diarrhea all over the screen.
But I think I'm trying to remember if there's a Luc Besson movie. I liked Wasabi with Jean Reno. And I like The Professional-ish.
I like Leon better.
Meet Hubert Fiorentini, one of France's hardest working cops. He's a perfect gentleman. And he always gets his man.
Vous savez faire avec les femmes, commissaire.
C'est une mise à pied. Non, c'est une mise en jambe, Hubert.
T'as l'air fatigué en ce moment. Tu devrais prendre des vacances.
And so, he's on his way to Tokyo to say goodbye to a lost love. Meet the daughter he never knew existed.
Dites-lui que je suis un ami de sa maman et que je lui veux aucun mal.
And take on the Yakuza single-handedly. Well... almost single-handedly.
Toujours en pleine forme. Il a peine arrivé déjà dans la mer.
He's the biggest threat to Japan since Godzilla.
Takedawa, c'est le zèbre. Écoute,
cicatrice-là sur la gueule.
On passe un alerte rouge niveau 1.
Yeah!
Yes.
J'ai pris que des trucs que t'aimes.
Je vais prendre celui-là.
This fall, Luc Besson, the creator of La Femme Nikita and The Professional, is going to split your sides.
Papa.
Break your heart.
Ma petite fille.
And knock you out.
La grenade.
Quoi la grenade?
Je l'ai dégoupillée.
Belle cette grenade.
Jean Reno, Ryoko Hirasue, Carol Bouquet, and Michelle Mueller. Wasabi.
Vachement.
It just doesn't get any hotter than this.
You know, I've never actually seen Death Race 2000. How the remake? How was that one?
I actually liked it.
I heard it was awful. I heard it was like
that was
rotten,
also directed
gross.
By Paul W.S. Anderson. Yeah. So
it was fun. Mm-hmm. I mean, it had what's his name?
Jason Statham Jason was in that Statham. One.
What's the name of the actor that came out in the HBO Western?
HBO Westworld. Western or AMC?
Westworld.
No,
Westworld.
No, not Westworld. The other one.
Oh,
Dogwood.
Deadwood.
Yeah.
Deadwood. Dogwood.
There's a black dude in Deadwood.
No, the old guy, the dark hair. He also came out in
Al Swearengen.
Is that his name?
Is it the guy from John Wick? Are you talking about
that? Yeah, that guy too.
Keanu Reeves.
Ian McShane is his
Ian
name.
McShane.
You know what we would know him from contemporaneous? Would be Sexy Beast.
That's what I was saying, dude.
Did you say the word
Sexy Beast? Yeah,
I didn't hear you say that.
I didn't hear you say that either.
Oh, I thought I said Sexy Beast because I remember that. That's a really good movie too.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I don't know. I think my copy got stolen by an ex-girlfriend, so I need to buy a new copy.
Was it a strong ass stripper?
Fuck off. She wasn't strung out.
Hey, she wasn't strung out.
Every day.
She was clean at that point. Anyway.
She hocked his movie for fucking no, smack, she dude. She totally hocked his movie for smack.
What can I get for Sexy Beast, big boy?
So Death Race 2000. Yeah, so that would be another one. But by the way, you didn't like the remake as much as the original, though, right?
What do you mean?
Death Race 2000.
I like the remake, and I like the original.
But which one do you like better?
Oh, really, dude? There's not really better in that. With those movies, they're just better is not a very a term you would use. You're just acceptable entertainment in small bites, and I don't ever have to see him again in a very long time.
See, a text trap. As soon as you reply, I'm like a trap spider. As soon as you reply, I leap onto you.
Dude, I've been sitting like waiting.
No worries. No, I didn't get home until late tonight. Then we were having dinner, and it's like, okay, I was actually just getting set up to call you. And then I saw that's why I finally replied to that text. Like, okay, let me go ahead and give him a shout right quick.
So do we need to do this on one of those other the websites?
Nah, we'll just do it over the phone right quick.
You sure?
Yeah, it'll be fine. We're just going to do a little quickie preamble for the interview.
Just the tip, guys.
Yeah.
How hot and cool as shit. You know, some of the other guys we met were just really, really cool. I kind of made fun of the time because it was so small, because it was fucking tiny. Not even small, it was fucking tiny.
I think it was still bigger than Amazing Houston.
Nah, it's about the same size. It's about the same size. If not, honestly, a little smaller.
I think maybe it's just because, to my mind, the talent was of a higher caliber because there was more guys that were like classics of the day, you know, Bronze Age greats and that sort of thing.
One other cool thing about this one is you could actually interact with the artist. Like I tell you, man, I sat there and I talked to Kyle Hotz for an hour, dude. That was like the coolest shit. Like he had nothing else to do. I had walked the con like 20 times already. It was so small. And I was like, do you mind if I sit down? He's like, go ahead. And he's sitting there sketching. I'm watching him and then we start talking. I'm like, dude, this is so fucking cool. I'm hanging out with Kyle Hotz. and he's not chewing me off and he's sitting there asking, you know, I ask a couple questions. He answers them and he's, you know, every once in a while he would kind of turn the pad and let me look at it. I'm like, dude, this is so fucking cool. I'm hanging out with him. So the con out of all the cons I've been to was probably one of my favorites because we got to hang out with our heroes more.
You enjoyed bullshitting with Jim Shooter, I recall too.
Oh yeah. Yeah. For a little bit. I got a little time before his handler was like, all right, you got to move on. Because we were just, you know, I told him, you know, I want to hear some more stories. And he's like, yeah, I wanted to tell more stories. And we talked for a few moments. And it was cool. Just sure it was really cool. But they were really on top of him, his handlers.
I think most of them, they were like that, especially the ones that are part of like those crews. I'd like to see some of those guys hit Comic-Palooza. But maybe these other guys would have like a little bit longer leash to get to do some stuff with.
Well, see, but I think if they had come to Comic-Palooza, we wouldn't have had the same experience. Because the crowd would have been huge. Maybe not huge, but there would have been more fans there. Because there wasn't a lot of people there.
There wasn't a ton of people, but the thing with the Comic-Palooza, in my experience, is that you have some diffusion because there's so many different things to see and do that you don't necessarily have those kind of enormous crowds for any one person. Where there was pretty steady for everybody there all the time because it was a smaller show. The attention was more focused on the people, the guests. So most cons, I'll get the opportunity
opportunity, I'll spot a lull and be able to really do some talking with somebody. But at this con, virtually everybody was always engaged with somebody, you know, at any given time, like a group of people typically.
I don't know. I felt like, I mean, I actually got to hang out with him. So, I mean, I don't think if we were at Conopalooza, we would have got the time we did with him. That would have never happened. Did you ever think about Kevin Smith, dude?
Massive heart attack. Yeah. Thankfully, he pulled out. But apparently he had one of those Widowmakers, is what I hear. So if he had gone straight to the hospital, he'd have died.
Well, yeah. They basically, he just put a video on YouTube, like to talk to all the fans. Mm-hmm. And, dude, it was weird. He was talking about, like, you know, when he first had the heart attack, he was a little scared. People were saying things that had him worried. And then he was kind of like almost at peace. He said at one point, he was kind of like, you know, at one point, I was at peace. Like, I was okay with it. Like, you know, I lived a hell of a life. You know, he basically was saying, you know, I got to do things no one has ever got to. And he's talking about it like that, you know, and he gets real teary. And I was like, dude, like, that's, you know, I it's really hard for me to imagine a world without Kevin Smith, because I'm watching shows all the time. You know, when I'm bored or I'm cleaning the house, I'll put on an evening with Kevin Smith because it's very entertaining.
Well, you're watching, like, I love when I was over there the last time, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I watch them all the time. They're fun stories. I love his Superman story. I love all those little stories you tell. So I don't know, man. Like, just to realize that, you know, life is really fucking short. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah.
Well, and that's the thing too, is we all like to think we've got, you know, 60 years, 70 years, shit like that. But again, like, a heart problem like that can creep up. And Smith's not very much older than us, right? Is he even 50 yet?
47 years old.
Yeah.
It's just scary as shit to think of.
It's scary, but it's also, I mean, I think you have to look that in the eye, because that's real shit. That's shit that we're going to deal with. We're going to have shit like heart attacks. You have to know what's coming. You have to know what you're willing to do or what you're willing to not do. You got to get comfortable, because the fact is, from here on out, if we're not dying, the people around us are. You know,
I told you that I already came to that realization, dude, when I've had a lot of people pass away, and it's like I'm at that time in my life where, you know, at one point life was giving, and now life kind of like, all right, it's my turn, and now life taking away.
Something that I found very comforting when I finally, like, because for the longest time, death terrified me as an ego trip. The thought that I would cease to exist, that everything that I'd ever done would be rendered meaningless by my absence, and blah, 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 that kind of bullshit. And I got to tell you, it gave me a great deal of peace and comfort to kind of look the concept of death in the eye and realize the upside, for starters, that, you know, a lot of the bullshit that I've had to struggle through, I wouldn't have to deal with anymore, that I would just be an eternal peace, that if there is an afterlife, then I get to go on to that. If there's not, then I'm not around to worry about this shit anymore. That I wasn't doing myself any favors by putting myself through a head trip over that, because if it happens, it happens. There's nothing I can really do about it. I'm just going to, you know, it's going to happen, and it's inevitable. You know, we're not going to be heads in jars like Futurama. At some point, we're going to die. So you got to figure out what you want to do while you're here, because you've only got so much time, and you definitely got to make sure that you're enjoying the time that you're spending on this earth now, because you may not get to, you know, there may not be a time that you're working toward that you're going to actually get to enjoy. If you're not enjoying yourself right now or fulfilled in what you're doing right now, you may not have a tomorrow. You may not have a 5 years from now. We don't know what time we've got. We can get run over tomorrow. So you better get right with your mind and get right with your purpose on this earth now, because life come up and just fucking run you over.
God, you're such a fucking Debbie Downer sometimes.
But no, I mean, I'm saying that it's empowering, though. You're like, okay, well, fuck it. This is my life, and this is what I'm wanting to do with my life. If I'm doing something I'm fine with doing with my life, then great. If I'm not, then I'm going to make some fucking changes. This is my life, and I'm going to address it on my terms. You know, it's like I'm working my ass off right now, and I'm not really enjoying my work very much, but I believe in what we're doing. I'm proud of the work that I'm able to do, and I'm grateful that I'm not burdened by things like kids that would make it to where I couldn't just, if the day came where I'm just like, well, fuck this shit, I can just walk away. And knowing that I can do that, knowing that I have that ability and I can just go off and do something else, that's very comforting. You got to figure out how to take this life on your terms. You got to decide, okay, this is the life that I'm going to have, and you got to empower yourself, basically. You got to recognize that you're going to die and just be empowered that, like, look, as long as I'm alive, this is my life, and I'm going to live the life that I'm going to choose to live. So I'm trying to give you a silver lining, buddy. Build yourself up.
You're such an asshole.
I didn't mean to, man. You brought up Kevin Smith very fucking into this shit. Sorry.
Well, no, I was going to say, hold on. Shit, I had a way to fucking end this night without fucking being all depressed shit.
Oh, by the way, I picked up the Black Panther soundtrack. I haven't had a chance to rip it yet, but I'll have that available if you're interested.
Okay, yeah, I'll take a copy of it. I mean, well, we'll talk about it that night too, because I saw a movie and he was like, it was okay. But he was like, Gary, tell me that.
Yeah.
Like, he called me as soon as he got out of the theater and we're sitting there talking about it. I'm like, it's okay if you didn't like the movie. And he's like, yeah, I thought it was okay. I'm like, dude, I said, we talked about it on the podcast, man. It's in the middle of the road for it. Like,
I feel a little bit more comfortable because it made so much fucking money and has been so broadly acclaimed. I have more trouble being a dude who's maybe not like a wild about Wonder Woman. I have more trouble with that than being a dude who's like, yeah, Black Panther was pretty good. But I mean, it's not my movie. It's making tons of money. People really love it. So I feel more comfortable criticizing Black Panther since it's made, you know, done so fucking well. And the truth is, it's like I wanted to love the movie. I like it. I enjoyed it. It was pretty good. I'll see it again eventually, but I'm not rushing out to see it in the theaters again necessarily.
No.
It was nice. It was good, but it just wasn't what I'd hoped it could be. I think it was something for other people, but it wasn't made for me. And since it's doing so well, I don't have to worry about it not being made for me. And I'm not a racist because it didn't.
So then you feel the movie fell short then?
I think it just wasn't made for me. But I also feel like, you know, it just didn't. It should have been funnier, you know? I recognize that it's not just that I wanted a Black Panther movie. I wanted Christopher Priest's Black Panther movie. I don't want Reginald Hudlin's Black Panther movie. I don't want Ta-Nehisi Coates necessarily, although I've read enough stuff to know. I certainly didn't want so much Don McGregor. There was a lot of Don McGregor in there that I could have done without. But I think it did a lot of things right. But I do think, again, in its emphasis for girl power, that it kind of lost its main character. So in that way, it's like that was kind of a flip on Wonder Woman. It's like Wonder Woman, one of the things that made me happy with the movie is that the movie was so much about Wonder Woman and so much about making her look awesome that even if there were other things that I had problems with, it's like at least Wonder Woman looks great. At least everybody fucking loves Wonder Woman. I work with a lot of Black women and it's like they like Black Panther okay, but they're way more excited about Killmonger. They're more excited about fucking M'Baku. They're more excited about Okoye. Black Panther is like the third or fourth favorite of everybody I talk to. And it's like his name's in the fucking movie, man. So I feel like maybe they shortchanged the character they were supposed to be building up in favor of building a supporting cast, which is good in the sense that means it's easy to do sequels because he's already got a supporting cast that people want to see and are excited about. But I kind of want to be excited about Black Panther, and I'm not as excited about him as I am about his world. I wanted to see a movie that made him look like the baddest motherfucker on earth, and he came off okay. Everybody else looked way cooler than him, though.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I had to ease feelings. I guess. Don't worry, man. I thought that last battle looked very video gamey.
It was really fucking rubbery. What it reminded me the most of was Amazing Spider-Man 2 when Spider-Man's fighting Electro. Remember how fucking video gamey that shit got and how rubbery the physics were, how fake everything looked? Yeah, that last fight sucked.
Yeah. It wasn't Wonder Woman suck, though. It sucked, but it's not Wonder Woman suck.
Let me put it to you this way. The battle on Wakandan soil with human beings and rhinoceroses and stuff, that was better than what was in Wonder Woman. I think the actual fight between the two main characters, though, because I watched Wonder Woman again over the weekend, not on purpose.
How many times have you seen that fucking movie?
I've seen it a bunch of times, but I trust me, it wasn't.
You know
what happened?
You know,
let me tell you what happened.
Wait. You know, after the 10th time, you get a vagina, right?
Well, I haven't gotten to 10 yet, but no, what had happened is I was watching it when we got back from the signing, and then we basically took over the recliners just to rest, you know, to have our shawarma moment.
Yeah.
Although we'd already eaten Demasi's, so we should have had our shawarma moment there. But we carried it back to here, and so we basically just sat in the recliners while Wonder Woman played, and he didn't really seem like he wanted to talk. It seemed like he was just sort of zoning out, or maybe he was watching it. I don't know. So I just was letting him watch it and kind of like sitting there in silence with him. And so I ended up watching the majority of the movie again without meaning to. And so watching the final battle again, that's still really fucking lame, especially like, I'm doing it for love. And he's like, fuck off, chick, man. This shit's fucking lame. But I still think that that was probably a better fight than Black Panther versus Killmonger. That was a bad fight. That was really fucking some rubbery bullshit there.
No, it was very rubbery and gamey, but
I'm looking at an attractive woman, you know, on one of the fights.
She was a computer woman. That was like beating off the hentai.
She wasn't as rubbery and fake looking as either of the Panthers, though. And it was unintentionally funny seeing David Thewlis as Ares. So that at least there was some unintentional comedy there, where there was nothing funny about that fight.
Well,
they drag him up to the fucking sunset and shit. It's like, come on, man, you got a fucking spear in your sternum, and you're supposed to be like wandering around and having conversations and shit. It's like, fuck off, this shit.
The problem I had was that it was daytime outside, but you're gonna have a battle in the dark of a cave in two black,
right?
Which was kind of like a cheat to me. That's what bothered me. It's like, this is a cheat because you're already in black ninja suit, and now you're gonna say, oh, by the way, we're gonna battle down here, and it's gonna get kind of, you know, it's gonna take away. If I don't know,
it's Snowbird versus Wendigo in a blizzard.
Yeah. Now, I watched Wonder Woman like two more times. Just a little bit, really wanted to watch it, so we watched it, and now she's like, can you get JLA? I want to watch Justice League. I'm like, well, let me see if I can get it.
Justice League is fun. I mean, I haven't watched since theatrical, but I just seen clips of it. Like, they did the honest trailer of it recently, and I watched that. It's like, man, don't put enough with picking on fucking Justice League. Man, that movie didn't make any fucking money. All these people are pissed off at it. It's just not, it's not a great movie, but it's not nearly as bad as you bitches make it out to be. It's just, it's one of those movies that it's just getting trashed because people are pissed off at each other and because they're pissed off that it isn't the movie they wanted it to be. And it's like, it's still a fun little movie. It's just a fucking train wreck. wreck, but it's a fun little train wreck. It's amiable.
Was it? Because they make just, we had this discussion. So we said, okay, so it was like, rate the movie. And it was funny because me and him both agreed on this. I know you won't agree. Out of all the movies, I think The Man of Steel is probably my favorite, followed closely by, I would say, it's a tie between Justice League and Batman vs. Superman, maybe in the middle, followed, I mean, but like really close to Wonder Woman. Like all three of those movies are really close to each other. But, and then Suicide Squad is like dead last. Like it's not even in the column. Like I didn't even consider it part of the DCU.
Yeah, it's bad. I would give Justice League probably about a 6.5. Maybe a 7 if I were feeling generous, but about a 6.5. It's definitely better than middling, but not quite good. I definitely enjoyed it though, and I definitely want to watch it again. I actually think that I could end up buying it if they put a decent documentary on there, or if they give us enough deleted scenes to where I could get a better idea of what the Snyder Cut was going to be without getting furious over the bullshit they were going to pull with Cyborg. But yeah, it's not that bad. There's definitely plenty of Marvel movies that are worse than fucking Justice League, so...
Oh, hell no. No. My friend will disagree.
Thor?
We're going to disagree.
Thor? Thor the Dark World? You don't think Thor the Dark World is worse?
I would give you equal footing on that one.
Thor the Dark World is fucking worse than Justice League, man. I have no reason to ever see the Dark World again.
The only time I laughed in Justice League was whenever Aquaman was sitting on the lasso, and you're like, that was in the movie. I'm like, oh, well, that was a great scene. I actually like that thing. Now, I say the problem with the movie was they should have never gave it to Weed. Like, he tried to marvelize it, and you can't do that.
I think that's true. I think they should have just left it to be what it was. Except for cutting the Cyborg shit. They needed to cut the Cyborg shit. But the rest of it, they should have just went ahead and left it alone.
Yeah, because to me, it felt like someone painted first with oil, and then someone went over with watercolor.
Mm.
And you had two types of styles that did not work together.
Yeah.
And then, but you're still trying to use the same colors. They clashed. They clashed.
The simple fact, too, is that Joss Whedon isn't a great director. I think he's great at adapting comic book related stuff. I think he's great at building casts and getting good performances out of casts. But in terms of being a guy who gets behind a camera and points that camera in interesting ways, and he's not a great director. And he's definitely not a guy you could just bring in last minute and try to, you know, work some magic on. Snyder's not a good writer. He's not a great storyteller, but he's a great stylist. And he definitely can do stuff with the camera that grabs your eyeballs. Mm-hmm. So yeah, those are definitely two people that do not work well together.
Absolutely. I totally agree.
Yeah, but I think Justice League is definitely more fun than a lot of the Marvel movies, and I'm more excited to see Justice League again than a lot of the Marvel movies.
The ending was so horrible.
I'm not disputing. There's tons of bad shit in that movie. There's tons of shit that I think that I would skip over, just like skip that whole scene. But I think there's enough good that I enjoy, that I can get some pleasure out of, that I'd watch it again, but and not possibly own it. But like something like Thor the Dark World is such a joyless, pathetic movie that, I mean, I don't mean to keep harping on that one, but I really do think that's possibly the worst thing that they've ever done at Marvel. I've never had any desire to see Iron Man 3 again. I do think it's probably a better movie than Justice League, objectively, but I still don't really want to see it. I don't get excited. There's no reason for me to see that movie because there's no characters in that movie that I'm excited to see. But I'll say objectively it's a better movie, but I don't want to watch it as much. You know, so.
Well, I know what you're trying to get across. My point is, Justice League, I've gone back and rewatched some of the stuff because somebody's put it on YouTube, and the only scenes that to me are rewatchable are the very beginning, like on Lesbos or whatever, with the Amazon women, and they're trying, and he's trying to steal the cosmic cube.
Yeah.
That was a really good thing.
And when
Diana or Wonder Woman is telling Batman the story about the cosmic cube, those were like the only two scenes that I've rewatched. And I'm like, that's pretty good. I like that. That's actually pretty cool.
The moment where Flash tries to rush Superman, I still think is awesome.
No, but that's that doesn't count, dude. That's a stinger. Stingers don't count.
No, the not fact, that. I'm talking about when the Flash tried to approach Superman when he's fighting the Justice League, and they catch each other's eyes.
But see, the problem is those two other scenes I described to you is a bunch of scenes put together. You're describing to me one snippet of a scene that doesn't work. Like the CG's bad, the fighting, everything about it is bad, but you're picking that one little snippet of a 3-second
I'll throw another one to you. Obviously, the Wonder Woman's introduction to the movie, I thoroughly enjoy it.
Oh, no, that's what I'm saying. I love what she told backstory about the Q's with Q.
I don't mean that. I mean when she goes to fight the terrorist, I enjoyed that whole sequence as well.
Oh, no. I thought that was crappy. Yeah, I don't like when she's doing her Xena sliding on the floor thing. But again, I'm not a Wonder Woman fan.
Yeah.
And I can come at it as a comic book guy, but I can't come at it as a fan because I realize the only Wonder Woman I really do know is the comic book, pretty much. Or the cartoon.
Yeah.
That's my Wonder Woman.
I don't like most of the cartoon Wonder Woman. I didn't like that. I think that was one of the real big failings of Justice League. And it reminds me of why I got turned off to Justice League so early on and why I've never really watched very much of the first few seasons when it was just Justice League, because they did such a shitty job of handling Wonder Woman. And even though they did some good stuff with Martian watching Manhunter, I was so turned off by how much Wonder Woman there was and how bad Wonder Woman was that I just wasn't that into it. Gal Gadot's rendition of Wonder Woman is definitely closer, just like, and Linda Carter's by extension. Those are much more my Wonder Woman than that bullshit they try to pull on Justice League. Hell, I would say Hawk Woman was probably more like Wonder Woman than the actual Wonder Woman ever was.
You really? But yeah. She was more warlike.
Shiera had balance, though. You know, I mean, she, especially she, after Starcrossed, after she was like remorseful and trying to redeem herself after turning out to have been a spy, basically. Some of that
She really didn't start redeeming herself until she got Solomon Grundy killed.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. Because I didn't watch her in the early seasons. I'm talking about in like Justice League.
Oh, no, this was later. This was later, too.
Yeah.
No, I can't rewatch a lot of that early Justice League stuff. It's okay.
Yeah, they're still trying to figure their shit out.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan. It's almost to me like, I don't know. I try to rewatch it. It's free on Hulu. Mm. And so the first one is called what? Justice League, right? The first two seasons?
Yeah.
And then when it came back, it was called...
I think it was Unlimited, wasn't it, or something?
Yeah, Justice League Unlimited.
Yeah.
Now, that one I like.
Yeah, and Justice actually, League though, were single episodes and two episodes, and they had a wide variety. Basically, it was a DC Universe show. That's when it was great. Because they were way better doing characters like Huntress and Question than they ever were doing the Icon.
Well, I was going to say, I actually became a huge like fan of the Question.
Yeah, he was watching awesome.
That cartoon. Yeah, I want... Like, I'm surprised DC keep like bought that the Batman, the Gaslight, and I watched it, and I was like, dude, like, they should be making a Question movie. Like, take these less-known characters and give them an animated movie and see how it plays out. And if they do really well, guess what? We'll put them in a live-action movie.
Well, and what's funny to me is, even though I didn't like the Assault on Arkham cartoon, people seem to get excited about that, where how many fucking Batman stories are you going to adapt? How many Superman stories are you going to adapt?
Oh, yeah.
For how long do you think you're going to get people excited about this shit? And again, I'm going to keep harping on this. You made one fucking Wonder Woman movie, you fucking cunts. Jesus fucking Christ. That thing ended up being one of their biggest hits, too. It's just that it had a long game. Most of the DC movies, they make all their money up front, and then they taper off, and there's not much there afterward. Where Wonder Woman has made money consistently. They never stopped selling it. That's part of why they put out that special edition when the movie came out, because they knew
people were going to buy it. Even the R-rated one?
If you want to say it's R-rated, I don't know.
No, they did. No, someone gave me the first one that came out, and I watched, and I'm like, oh, actually, if I rewatch it, the Wonder Woman movie is almost based on it. Like, the same villain, the same concepts are also there. It's almost the same. The only difference is they re-released it, and I got the R-rated one, which was like, this one is the uncut R-rated, and I was like, I haven't watched it yet, but I was kind of like, huh.
But yeah, I didn't like that cartoon very much. I thought it was too violent and too mean-spirited and too many straw man arguments.
Really?
Yeah, well, it's just too many straw arguments, because basically they make Wonder Woman look like a bitch because she's constantly like getting all mad at people for not feministing correcting and all this bullshit. So she's very fucking tedious. And then Steve Trevor's just a fucking pig. And he's basically like, it felt like a white dude mansplaining Wonder Womaning to Wonder Woman. It's fuck off. That whole movie is kind of shit. But the fact is, it made a ton of money. It made more money than most of the DC animated movies. So why the fuck didn't you make more Wonder Woman stories? If there's more Wonder Woman stories, there's more chances for me to find something I actually like. But instead, we get treated to fucking war and dumb shit like that. It's just fucking tiresome. But I mean, most of the DC movies, I think, suck anyway. I've only liked a few of them. I only own a few of them. I think.
Well, no, you're right. They really do just recycle a lot of Batman, Superman stories.
Yeah. I mean, and to me, the best ones are the Justice League ones, like Doom and Crisis on Two Earths, New Frontier. By having the full team, they're less likely to fuck up any one of the characters and more likely to give you something that's enjoyable across the span. But when they started doing those dumbass New 52 versions of the Justice League movies, that's when they fucked up, because they leaned too much into dumbass Jim Lee-ism, you know, and just bad recent stories. When you've got the whole of Justice League history to play off of, and you're going to go for like the Jeff Johns, Jim Lee shit that, you know, whatever.
No one gives a shit. Well, no, you're right. I just watched not too long ago the Superman versus Brainiac. That was really shitty.
Yeah. Could you imagine how cool?
How shitty it was.
Imagine if they started doing adaptations of some of the Morrison shit. How cool that would be.
They did in the cartoon.
Well, you did. You had Earth 2, you know.
No. They did. Well, they did that. They also did the one with the Ultra Corps.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
They did their version of Ultra Corps. I remember they actually created Apache.
Yeah.
They didn't call him that. Yeah. And I remember thinking, well, I mean, and then you had the Wonder Twins. Oh, no, I'm sorry. That was when they recycled the Super Friends.
Right, right. And there's some kind of some kind of weird rights issue where they couldn't use the actual Super Friends. So they did.
Yeah, but it was still kind of cool because they were clones and they were actually going to die. And so, no, that was pretty good.
But doing some, like doing an adaptation of like Rock of Ages or New World Order, World War III, you know, those would be some fucking cool ass stories. And instead, they're just trying to do this dumbass Wildstorm bullshit.
When I do that, they're doing like Superman Red Sun. That's like their next big movie.
Yeah.
Like, they're kind of riding Mark Mark Millar's dick. Well, no, you know what? The Paradox one wasn't that bad. Flashpoint Paradox wasn't that bad. I actually liked that one.
I was surprised that I liked it as much as I did. I didn't love it, but the fact that I could watch a Flash-centric cartoon and be reasonably entertained, the fact that this ridiculously overblown, sprawling, shitty comic book story was compressed into a decent, you know, 90-minute cartoon, they did a good job with that. I have to give credit for that. It's just the problem was that was the launching pad for a bunch of shitty follow-ups. So that definitely took some of the luster off of it. But yeah, Flashback Paradox was actually pretty decent.
Have you read anything of the new Metal?
No.
Okay.
It's like we talked about. I think that that's a good story for you. I don't know if it's really my bag, but I think...
I mean, the artwork's amazing.
Yeah. Well, they're bringing Marsh Manor back in that. They're going to launch a new Scott Snyder-written Justice League series out of that. So, I mean, I'm sure I'll check out at least parts of it in the future, but I'm just...
Yeah.
I'm not into DC shit anymore. I'd much rather read some Image books.
Well, because I was thinking about it the other day. You asked me, hey, did you end up reading Invincible? And I was like, yeah. And I was like, were you asking me the podcast on it, or that's what I was going to ask?
No. We were just talking about, because of we were talking about, you'd brought up the movies, or somebody had brought up the movies that they, like, what movies were Image Comics coming out with? And because they're working on an Image, like Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg are working on a cinematic adaptation of Invincible. And so I was asking you about that related to the movie.
Okay, yeah. Have you read the last episode? Do you know anything about it, the last issue?
No, I haven't, and I'm trying to avoid it just in case I ever try to go back there and read Invincible. But like I said, I've tried reading Invincible multiple times over the years, and it's never really grabbed me. Most of Kirkman's stuff doesn't grab me, even though I recognize that he's a solid writer. But as far as stuff that I actually get excited about, there's only so much of his stuff that I'm really that into. And like I tried Invincible repeatedly, and it just never really hooked me.
Well, they just released the Negan story, and
The one that they serialized in the Image Plus. Yeah.
Yeah, they just released a hardcover of that. I didn't buy it. I got it from the library. The library shelled out $20 for it, which was a joke, dude. It was three issues at best.
Yeah.
And, I think he's kind of tapped in that well now, dude.
Yeah.
That was a really weak story, for a character.
Yeah, I think, you know, he's been coasting on his rep for building up Walking Dead, but I just don't think Walking Dead's been what it used to be for a long time. And I think that the show's weakness, again, I said that the show finally reached the point where I was sick enough of Walking Dead to walk away from it. And the ratings tanked. So it's like, it can't just be me then. You know, if everybody else got bored with Walking Dead as a TV show, at the same time I got bored with it as a comic book, and they pull the trigger. I mean, I did the same thing that a ton of people did. I watched the season premiere when they killed Glenn, and then I was out. Ella only lasted a few episodes after that, and she was more committed to the Walking Dead TV show than I was at that point. And she only lasted a few more episodes, and she didn't care anymore. She didn't like what they were doing with the characters. She especially didn't like what they were doing with Carol. I think everybody just lost interest. I mean, I don't know. People are just tired of zombie soap opera bullshit.
Yeah.
And ultimately, it just feels meaningless. I think that's, you know, the reason why movies like Dawn of the Dead are so meaningful to me is because they have philosophy to them. They actually have a point to all the zombie stuff. And I think after season of Walking Dead, especially as it's gone more and more right-wing, like, survivalist mindset, I think people are just bored with that shit now. And I think it maybe was more impactful in the Obama years for maybe the right-wingers. That was something they could hew to. But now it's just like, now that we're living in these chaotic, polarizing times, I don't think we wanted it reflected in our media, our entertainment, our fantasy.
Yeah.
And so Walking Dead's just not what we need anymore.
Well, dude, you already see zombies with all these conservatives fucking marching around, fucking dragging their knuckles and shit, you know, screaming brain. You know what we should do one day? You and I should podcast. We should sit down and I watch your favorite zombie movie and then we talk about it. And then we watch my favorite zombie movie.
And which one's your favorite?
I just realized, really?
I wanted to make sure that it was Return of the Living Dead, right?
Absolutely. That is the number one. That is the best zombie movie ever made, hands down.
It's awesome. It's definitely fucking awesome. I wouldn't have a problem with doing that.
Yeah, I absolutely. Like, I started watching don't ask me why, dude. I got this really weird thing right now where I'm watching a lot of guys who put up their Criterion collection on YouTube and they talk about them. And the two that I want to own on Blu-ray now that I'm like, apparently Barnes & Noble once a year has what's called the Criterion Collection Sale, where all their Blu-rays are 50% off. All the DVDs are 50% off. And apparently the Criterion Collection is at almost like 800 movies or some shit like that.
Yeah, there's
like,
a lot.
It's really hot. Yeah. And some of them are like really fucked up movies. Like, there was one that's based on the Marquis de Sade.
Oh, we've got that one. 120 Days of Sodom.
No. That's what's called Solo.
Solo. Yes, we own that one. Yeah,
you own that.
Paquita bought it because she needed to watch it for a college class of hers. So yeah, we've got it.
Did you watch it?
Yeah, I didn't enjoy it very much. Unsurprisingly, it's really sadistic.
Really? Like what?
Well, I mean, it's basically like a fascist regime. I think it's supposed to be the Nazis, if I remember correctly, just perpetuating all sorts of indignities and horrors upon a bunch of naked young people.
Oh wow.
Yeah. So I mean, it's a rough movie to watch. But yeah, we've got it.
I want watch it. It's like, it's part of the Criterion collection. So I'm like, okay, well, if it's part of the it's part of the collection, I gotta watch it. So I'm curious now.
And if I remember correctly, it was like the last film of some Italian director, and I think that it was him basically reflecting on the fascist past of the Italy.
Of Italy.
Yeah, and so a lot of people, particularly Italians, see where he's going with that. Where me as an American, without that history to draw from, that culture to draw from, it's just like, yeah. Wow, there's a lot of fucked up shit being done to these people. That's fucked up. So it just doesn't resonate with me as much.
So, well, there's that one, and then I think there's a bunch of other movies.
Well, apparently, while I was sitting here, you know, going through the Jim Starlin stuff, I keep seeing an ad for the Criterion Collection version of Night of the Living Dead, and I totally want to check that out. I need to buy that one. The funny thing is, I just recently bought a Blu-ray of Night of the Living Dead again, because they had like a nice like $10 version at Best Buy, I think it was. And it's like, shit, I should just buy the fucking Criterion Collection. What a dumbass I am.
Or not just that, dude. So I watched one on that, and I was like, man, maybe I get that for his birthday. Dude, it is packed with so much fucking documentary bullshit. Mm-hmm. Like documentary, they get documentaries from other countries. That, like, if Finland did a documentary on The Walking Dead, it's going to be in there. If it's an hour and 59 minutes, guess what? It's in there. Because they try to cram everything in there. So, yeah, because the two that I want to own is Return of the Living Dead, which they have. And
that is a Criterion?
Yeah. Hmm. I want to say it was a Criterion. Well, I know definitely.
Well, see, I've got a really nice upgraded version of that. And I want to say that might have been Shout Factory or Scream Factory, whatever imprint they were using.
I have to look. I want to say that one is under Criterion. Because I know the Repo Man is the Criterion. And it has like tons of shit in it. That one's a Criterion Collection. I want to say that they said Return of the Living Dead too. There's like 800 fucking movies. Now, some of the movies I have no interest in whatsoever.
Yeah, but you have to keep it in mind too. Criterion often favors art house type stuff, like really like cult stuff, where Arrow and Scream Factory / Shout Factory, they tend to do the more horror movies and more like trash culture, grindhouse type stuff. So they're more likely to do those. I know Arrow does a lot of those, but I don't own any Arrows. They're so fucking expensive. But yeah.
Are they like the horror versions of Criterion Collection?
That's what I'm saying, is that's what they do basically. It's like the stuff that Criterion maybe doesn't see as up to the Criterion standard often gets treated done up by Arrow and Scream Factory instead.
You know, maybe it was one of those. Because this guy, like I said, dude, there's some people, that's all they collect.
Yeah.
Is Criterion Collection. And I did hear those two other companies you're talking about, because there's one guy was talking about some of his other movies that, because people go, it's weird, there's like this big debate over should you get it in Blu-ray or DVD.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a Blu-ray guy, because the Blu-ray just seems a little more...
You get a more polished, you get a more polished image, but I find there's a lot of benefits to DVD. I don't see a huge quality difference most of the time between DVD and Blu-ray with upscaling the TVs can do now. I really like how a DVD will hold its place. You know, you'll pop a DVD in and it'll go right back to where you left it, where Blu-ray's menus are often very quirky and they don't pick up your place where you left off without you doing some kind of dumbass bookmark bullshit that I've never been any good at, and I don't know that it even works that well. Blu-ray players, even good quality ones, because they're proprietary, they're all pretty much all Sony. If you've got a deficit in one, you kind of have the same deficit across the board, where with things like with DVD players, you had more variance in quality. You had some that were like really good and did cool shit, and then some that were just trash. So I don't know. I can definitely see the pros and cons of each. I know that in terms of image quality, there's no competition, but in terms of your interaction with the media, and sometimes I just really prefer popping in a DVD. If for no other reason, load times. The fucking load times are always longer on Blu-rays. It was weird because back in the early days with DVD, you know, you'd have a slow load time, but over time the players got better and you kind of wiped that out. But even to this day, you get a top line Blu-ray and it's still got a long ass fucking load time to do shit. You know, it's kind of tedious.
But the thing is, the problem I have is with DVDs is if you want the whole experience, it's going to be like 7 DVDs. Where with Blu-ray, you might have 2 discs and that's it. And it's all that data compacted onto those 2 discs. So I don't have to swap out discs. I don't have to what disc was I on? Was it 4 or 5? I can't remember. I like the fact that I can watch it all on just like 2 discs.
Yeah, and that's valid. I totally see where you're coming from there. I definitely get that. And if I buy a TV show, I'll usually buy it on Blu-ray for that reason, because I just don't have physical space to be afforded to so many DVDs.
DVDs, to me, they always tend to take more, they tend to take up more space in the collection. They're bigger, they have to be bigger because, you know, they need more distance to fit all that same data. Mm. I don't know, I picked up 50-50, the movie you told me I had to watch.
We watched it together.
Yeah. Did we watch it?
Yeah, we watched it together. You, me, and...
That's right, because that's when he's shaving his head, he told him he used it to shave his balls. That's right.
Yeah.
So yeah, I picked it up at half off. Right now, half off is doing this thing where they're selling Blu-rays for $2.
Mm-hmm.
So I was trying to find your Dark Man. I didn't see,
Just to clear out the excess?
I think so, dude. They had 2 tons of I was trying to find your Dark Man too, to see if I came across it. But I didn't come across it.
I bought the nice higher end Blu-ray.
Of the Dark Man?
Yeah, so if you want one for yourself, that's cool. But I mean, one of the reasons why I gave you the Blu-ray I had is because I didn't realize that they had like one with a bunch of special features and shit. So I went out and bought that one. I've been meaning to watch that with you, but it hasn't worked out so far because I wanted to be all three of us for when we do Darkman.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I had picked it up because I was like, well, I was looking for it because I thought you said, hey, have you ever seen that the one with the Blu-ray one? Pick you up a copy. So
I might have said that at one time, but no, I've picked it up.
But you
since
ended up
then.
Finding it.
Yeah, because the one I have is the Scream Factory, so they've got interviews with like all the main cast members, and the interviews usually run a minimum of 10 minutes, and there's like all tons of fucking documentaries and vintage materials from when they were promoting the original movie, and just tons of shit, multiple commentary tracks. It's pretty well loaded.
How much do those usually go for?
Most of the time they go for $25 to $30, but for some reason the Dark Man was actually quite affordable. I think it was only about $15.
Like I said, right now, I'm gonna try to go to the
and then by the way, I believe that the Return of the Living Dead that I have was the same situation. I think it was Scream Factory, and like that documentary you're telling me to watch, it's on there, and it's a pretty loaded one too. I just haven't had a chance to actually watch that one, where I've got most of the Darkman watch now in anticipation of doing a podcast on it.
Okay, my bad.
We haven't had an opportunity where all three of us got together and didn't have to be like dealing with Black Panther or something like that. So
I'm going to bed.
Yeah, get some sleep. Great talking with you, and I'll catch you later on, man.
All right, bro.
Sweet dreams. Bye bye.
Well, you're both really like Resident Evil, so good thing I don't have several more of those coming up. Got his thoughts from the 21st Century Boys, 64-page special, Adam Blackmoon, Andrea G., Between the Pages blog, Billy Hines, Good News, who had invited to watch Resident Evil again, thanks, Charles Nero, Chris Dunford, Chris Lyon, Dear Watchers of Our Boy Podcast, and more. Greg Litchfield, The Hammer Strikes, Keith Stuff, and VoiceOver, History of the Film, Iris Joe is, It's Plastic Man, Jeffrey Brown, Mayville, Keith G. Baker, King Dinosaur, Max, Mike Sandeo to me, Patrick, or just plain Pete, Resurrection, Warlock, Bears Podcast, Samilla, Scott Wyatt, Scott X, Ufta, and what a reward for this podcast. Speaking of the previous episode, that was the first time a zombie ended a podcast about zombies. I was falling asleep sitting up for at least the last half hour of that show. There's some stuff I'd like to edit. It just happened. Sorry about that. The success episode should be quite a bit shorter. I tried to really pack some stuff into that one and have a rather long conversation with Mac the night before the podcast was going to be finished editing. Speaking of Resident Evil 2, we will hold comments from the previous episode until that episode, which should be coming sooner rather than later.
How does it feel to treat me like you do?
Did you sub? Was that one of those songs?
Oh, I remember.
Yeah. Everyone I talked to thoroughly enjoyed. We had some new comments on that one on our Facebook page. We got a comment.
Talkie talkies, walkie talkies.
Ha 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 ha.
Ha.